Started. You've tuned in to Robert Rogers at Parkinson's Recovery, and I have a very special guest today. John Carlin has the symptoms of Parkinson's for about 7 years now, and he is doing some quite incredible things to be able to feel better and get relief from his symptoms. So our time today is going to be spent asking John every conceivable question I can think about that will help us better understand what he has done to begin to feel a lot better. So I want to say thank you for joining us today, John.
Oh, my pleasure.
I'm thinking what might be most interesting for people is to ask you to go back to the period, which I guess was about 7 or 8 or more years ago when you started to having some symptoms, and just to explain what those symptoms were and then what you did about them.
I guess I got diagnosed November 1st of 2002, and I went to the first neurologist, and he in about 7 minutes diagnosed me as having Parkinson's, which was lacking a lot of bedside manner there. So then I went to get a second opinion, and he took my doctor, who I have now, diagnosed me as the same with Parkinson's, but he took about 2 hours, went through every test that they have, and we went through the battery of it. Initially, I noticed like an internal tremor, which was equated to like when you hop out of the shower and it's freezing cold and you're still dripping wet and your body quivers. That, also my toothbrush wouldn't roll fast in my mouth. And when I was shaving, it was the same thing. Plus, like, we were building a house at the time and rolling the blueprints. Basically what it boiled down to is my fine motor skills were starting to slow down. And my wife also noticed like a lack of expression in my face. So that's where it started. And then I went to the neurologist and got the diagnosis. And when I went to the neurologist I go to now, he was just about to start a clinical study for a 2-year program. So being that I was relatively new and I wasn't taking any medicine yet, I got into a clinical study for 2 years that the IND, which is, I can't remember what the nomenclature stands for, but it's essentially the neurology department at Yale University. They spun off, and they were doing a third-tiered test on a slower downer type of med. They had 4 dosages of placebo, 25, 15, 75, and it was a double-blind study. You didn't know which one you were getting. And at the end, it was statistically no difference in any of the 3, so they stopped it. But the big thing was they had 800 people in this program in the study that they were mapping for 2 years at a time. So I started with a bang, I guess you could say, and I've been a guinea pig ever since. Then it ended in 05 because I started in 03. And then every 2 years after that now, the same neurology department at Yale, they pull us all back in however many they can get. And they actually take a specs picture of your brain to see if the area of the brain affected by Parkinson's has shrunk at all. And it's sort of funny when you get there. They're great folks. And you get there, and it's time for your injection. And then it's like an MRI, open face MRI, the second day. But the first day they inject you with the marker, and here you are in this little cotton gown, and the technician walks up to you like in a Darth Vader suit, with all this protection and lead around the syringe, and you're going, there's something wrong with this picture. All I've got is broadcloth cotton protecting me. You're in a Darth Vader breeze suit. So I started laughing then. But that's sort of the study that I've been through, and I've been actually going through it now. I go back again this spring just for another follow-up with the same group, and they're just doing the same thing, checking to see if my brain has grown or decreased, whatever.
What is happening? Have they told you what the results say?
They show you the pictures, the great color shots, but they're not a doctor. They only play one on TV. So when you meet with the doctor, he hasn't had a chance to really review it as quickly as you, because you're there for 2.5 days, and they're cranking through as many as they can get through on the weekends. they say my brain's been shrinking, or the portion of the brain that's affected by Parkinson's is shrinking a little bit, but I'll see what happens this next time I go. And they sort of, if there's anything really bad, they'd let you know immediately. But I guess I'm not a fountain of knowledge for the answer to that question right now.
Right. Are you currently taking medicines or supplements?
Yeah, I'm taking a little bit of everything. I've taken Mirapex, Azelect, I guess how you pronounce it, and Amantadine. And I actually didn't, I'm not taking the full dosage of Amantadine because I don't really need it yet because of all the rest of the stuff I'm doing. Immediately upon finding out about the PD back in 2002, I started taking CoQ10. And there was a study that was just finished back then. It said it slowed down the progress. They think it slowed down the progress of the PD by about 45%. So I popped on to the CoQ10. I take 1,200 milligrams a day of that. I take multivitamins, fish oil. I get a black currant antioxidant tablet, which is a huge antioxidant from New Zealand. I take that daily. This other stuff, I just started taking. It's Aquas. It's a hydration therapy. That's probably the biggest thing that I've come across in everything that I take. I take it all in unison. But the Aquas, it's like a cell hydrator. And I was taking it for about 2 weeks at a real low level. And my massage therapist, without even telling her that I was on this stuff, noticed it immediately with my muscles, because she said my muscles had gone from like real stiff and cardboardish to flexible and spongy. And it was just amazing. She was wondering what I had done, and I said the only thing I know that was different than what I had been taking was this Aquas, and I really think it's the key part of this my whole equation that I'm doing right now.
So that was a 2 week result.
That was 2 weeks at almost the lowest dosage, and since then I've pumped it up to about, well, actually what you do is you put a drop in a glass of water in the morning, a drop in a glass of water in the evening. And I've worked my way up to 5 drops in the morning, 5 drops in the evening. And it's amazing. Like when I do my spinning, I'm not taxed when I get finished. My recovery period is a lot quicker. This stuff was actually made, the Aquas was actually made for a marathoner back in Australia about 10, 15 years ago. And it branched over. There was a naturopath that had PD in Australia. And he started taking this because I think he knew the inventor of it. And he started taking it for his Parkinson's, and that's sort of where I got the idea from. He's got a book out called Stop Parkin' and Start Living by John C. Coleman. That's sort of the equation that I go upon. Where now he suggests a bunch of different therapies and also the Aquas along with meditation, bone therapy. What else am I doing? Craniosacral therapy, spiritual development, and this Aquas hydration formula. So I've been doing all that. Besides, I think exercise is a key point here also. I'm taking glutathione, which is a huge antioxidant, and I'm also getting rid of the heavy metals in my system through a chelation therapy, which consists of intravenous and also capsules. It's getting the heavy metal out of my system, so no more rock bands for me.
Are you doing that with a consultation of a medical doctor then, or a naturopath?
I've got what I call my health practitioner team. One of them is a naturopath. The first person in my list is my wife, because she's been great about this whole thing, and she's just been tremendous supportive. She's a bloodhound when it comes to digging up information. Within days of my getting Parkinson's diagnosed in 2002, I had just reams of information on my desk that she had dug up already about it. So the natural path that I use is the one that I've been doing the glutathione through, and also the chelation therapy, which is the getting rid of the heavy metals. I go for an IV cocktail like once a week, along with capsules for the chelation therapy. And the glutathione is just a huge antioxidant that you can take better in IV form than it is in capsule form because it goes right into your system quicker.
An IV, it's an intravenous infusion of some substances that help remove the toxins in your body?
Yes, it's called a chelator, spelled C-H-E-L-A-T-E-O-R, I believe. That's for the heavy metals, and the glutathione is just a real strong antioxidant.
You've been doing that now for quite a while, or
I've been doing the glutathione probably since fall of last year. And the chelation therapy, you get a test and see how much heavy metals and what heavy metals you have in your system. Then you sort of build from there, and that's when I've taken the intravenous chelation and the capsules on a daily. The intravenous is the weekly, and the capsules are daily.
So the intravenous infusion is really a concoction that's developed as a function of what the results say about what heavy metals are in your body, or is it a patented standard treatment?
No, I think it's based upon what's in your system, but it's probably a combination of the two. The two put together form my weekly cocktail.
Interesting.
Back to your question, I do have a neurologist. I have a naturopath. I have an acupuncturist, which helps with depression, which is, I think she was key real early on. I have an internist, which is my regular doctor, a dentist who understands what's going on wrong and has helped me remove my fillings. I've got a Pilates instructor, which helps me with balance and flexibility. I have a resistance trainer, which is basically weights and core bodybuilding. I do energy work. I have massage therapists and also a training buddies. When I go out for a bike ride, those are my training buddies. So it's sort of a team approach to my health system or health requirements.
I was mentally counting, and I counted 10 members of your medical team. It sounds like it's a full group of people there to support your recovery.
I think, there is a lot, and I think it's really important because everybody has something to offer. And sometimes the Western medicine doesn't appreciate fully the Eastern medicine. I think the Eastern medicine is just as valid as Western is. And they get more of a bigger picture and aren't necessarily there to give you more drugs. I mean, it's more, I was looking, like when I first got diagnosed with Parkinson's, you go through a deep depression, or at least I did. And one day my doctor said, you look pretty depressed. Let's put you on antidepressant. I said, well, let me try my own way, see if I can get this, nip this in the bud. And I just happened to go into my acupuncturist that week for another reason. I said, can you do anything for my depression? She said, sure. Pin right in the middle of the forehead. And I kid you not, I hopped off that table after about 20 minutes of a therapy, and I was laughing. It was amazing. So we were joking that every time I go to see Ruth, my acupuncturist, it's one between the eyes.
And between the eyes is where it went?
Between your eyebrows, yeah.
Oh, that's so cool.
And
she just put one needle there? That was it?
Yeah. She may have put others in, but I was there for, I think I had a cold at the time, and she's helped treat me for that. So she may have snuck one in here or there otherwise. But basically, it's one between the eyebrows for depression. And I was in contact with the one guy that, he was in Virginia, he had just come down with it, with PD. And he said, well, is there anything you can tell me? Well, I sent him paragraphs, and I finally said, whew, I got to quit right here and just email me back with more questions. But one of them was, when you first get diagnosed, the best thing you can do is get off the windowsill and step back in the room and try and deal with this as sanely as you can. And depression is a big function early on, at least it was for me. So I tried to get rid of that, and I was able to successfully. It wasn't one needle solved the whole thing. I went back like every week for about a month, and then every 2 weeks and every month, and after that I was, shall we say, cured.
So it has been relieved then as a result of that treatment?
Through acupuncture.
Whoa. Can you talk some more about the therapy that you said had been truly and genuinely helpful, what you call the aquas? People may not know exactly what you're talking about. You say you take a drop in the morning. Why would that affect hydration in your body?
Well, for what it does, it's a formula that helps get the water out of your gut into your system faster, and then from your system to your cells faster. It also has a detoxifying effect also. So it's the only thing I can explain is that I've seen the results in person, that it was meant to be a hydrator for shall we say, well people, marathoners, and to help them, because if you didn't know anything about running, and I used to be a runner, I'd given my anything to have this 10 years ago. You hit the wall a lot of times at 20 miles because of dehydration, and hydration is so important in daily lives and with sick people and healthy people, that it was proven out, because after this marathoner had started taking this formula, it was like 15 years ago, he had his best time ever in a marathon and never hit the wall. So it's so key to hydrating your whole system, because I know a lot of ill people go through dehydration big time, and that doesn't help at all. So when I read about it in John Coleman's book, I said, you know, this has got to be for me. So like I said, after taking the one drop twice a day for 2 weeks, my massage therapist, without even knowing that I was doing it, has said there was a remarkable difference, and I've noticed it too in my recovery time. But it's just a hydration therapy of sorts. It's a homeopathic. It doesn't cross with any of your meds, and I'm taking three. So I feel much better with this going through me now. And now that I've pumped up to they recommend you stop at about five drops per glass of water. So I take 10 drops a day.
So your doctors are comfortable with your taking this therapy. It is not contraindicating with any of the other medications you're taking.
Well, what's interesting is my neurologist, my last visit, said, I don't know what you're doing, but keep doing it because it's helping you on a daily basis. Because she was saying that right at my point in time, I'm 7 years into this now, I should be at the second tier of medicine like a lot of other people are, and I'm not. I'm still at the first tier and not even fully there. So something's going right, and the Western medical folks are noticing it, and the Eastern folks or the naturopaths of sorts have already known about this. So there, you know, there's no conclusive study that the Western medicine usually wants to see, but I'm living proof that it's working.
What about your diet?
Nutrition is very important. My wife is great about that. I can throw things together to a nutritionist, but she loves to cook for starters, and she knows what to make, what's nutritious, what's not nutritious. Of course, we all sort of know what's not nutritious. But my diet is mainly organic foods. What we did when I first came down with it, we're trying to eliminate as much probable cause of anything else helping this disease along. So we started doing purified water and also organic food only, meats, chickens, and I try and stay away from meat also, so fowl and fish. It's sort of like what your mother told you needed to eat when you were younger, and now you have to eat because when you're older. But my nutrition is just as important as hydration. They sort of run hand in hand, and so is exercise. I think exercise is one of the keys, but that sort of falls back on the Aquas stuff, helping you with your exercising, because especially when I'm cycling, you're putting out a lot of perspiration, and hydration is very important when you're riding. So I've done a lot of things, and it's hard to comb through all the information, but I've sort of gotten away from the support group idea and have formed my own support group, because the first one I went to was very depressing and I'd swear I'd never go back. So we've got a friend of ours, his wife has PD also, so we've got our own little support group of about four people, the two spouses and the two sickos.
And you're a very positive attitude about recovery then.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't know who I read it from, but he said, you know, I look forward to every year being better than the one before. It was a Dr. Hadick who made the Parkinson's pyramid, which at the cornerstones was exercise, stress management, and nutrition. he put up a, put out a video, a DVD of, you can't get it anymore, I don't think. When I was up at the Cleveland Clinic, seeing a neurologist, and he had just put it out then, and it's basically what you and I have just talked about: nutrition, stress management, and exercise, the foundations of staying healthy. And he had Parkinson's at 38, I believe. He's in his early 40s now, and he went in a big spiral really quickly. He went and did DBS, which is deep brain stimulate, and that helped his symptoms innumerably. But he also took the formed this Parkinson pyramid from all these studies, and his concept was basically, let's help the cells that are dying in the brain and the healthy ones that are still there, and keep them nourished and with nutrition. And stress is big, is a bad no-no for PD patients. But his big focus was on, let's help save the weakened cells and also the ones that are still hanging around. And that's where his sort of Parkinson's pyramid came from. And that rolls right into nutrition.
I've had the privilege of hearing Dr. Haddock talk, and he's quite an amazing speaker, and he does emphasize the importance of everything you just mentioned, and he downplays the influence of the deep brain stimulation therapy. He did have that, but he certainly attributes his health and wellness to the benefits of exercise and good nutrition and taking care of his body. It's a quite a wonderful presentation.
I think the exercise is really key, and it's key for anybody, but... So that's why I'm glad I'm able to cycle and spin as much as I do.
Can you please talk some about tandem biking?
Okay. When I was looking for a neurologist about 2 years ago, because mine had left the area and have now come back, and I went up to Cleveland Clinic, and when I was going through the neurological exams and whatnot, one of the doctors, the neurologist I was talking to up there, one of his cohorts, had just finished running a study on forced exercise on a tandem. Basically what they do is they put a healthy front rider and then they take a Parkinson patient in the back rider, and for 8 weeks they rode 3 days a week, 1 hour at a time, with a cadence of about 80 to 90 RPMs. And that was key, because that's why the PD patient was on the back, because the front healthy rider, and again, this tandem is on rollers and it's indoors, forces the Parkinson's patient to keep up the pace from 80 to 90 RPMs, and they found that it reduced their symptoms, and the reduction in symptoms lasted for a period of time. And it all came from the Ragba ride, because I guess a friend of Dr. Albert's was had Parkinson's, but she kept telling everybody that after each ride, each day, she felt great, and her symptoms were like almost gone. So he came back into the laboratory. I think he's a biomedical engineer with a PhD. He concocted this forced exercise on the tandem. And what I've done to duplicate that here at the house, since I don't have a tandem, I've got a spinning bike, and I've got a computer on the front of my spinning bike, and I do the same exercise that they do. They warm up for 10 minutes, and then they ride for 40 minutes straight at the high RPMs, and then warm down for 10. And I've noticed, besides losing weight, I used to have a party ball belly, and now I'm up to about a 12-pack. All the people talk about, I've got a 6-pack. Well, I'm sort of stationary at a 12-pack right now. But there's multiple benefits to that. Is you're getting exercise, you're getting fit, and hopefully you're slowing down the process of PD. So his study, his study that he ran, I've been duplicating it now since like September of last year, and I think it really, along with, now that's where the Aquis falls into play again, because of the hydration. I've noticed that since I've been taking it, when I hop off my spinning bike, my recovery period is next to nothing, and I'm in much better shape than I was when I wasn't taking it. Does that make sense?
It does. I mean, the aqua hydration therapy that you've been recently taking, so you've noticed an effect just in terms of your recovery from exercise.
Exactly. Because when I would come out of Pilates class, which I do, I recommend that for balance and flexibility, I would just be fried. And same thing with the the resistance training, I'd be fried. But I've noticed that I come out of those sessions pretty much recovered fairly quickly from it all and benefit from it.
So to be clear about the treatment regimen that you've adopted for the bike exercise, you are doing that by yourself.
Correct.
You don't have another person who's in a two-seater kind of tandem bike, and
exactly
they're not been, they're not pulling you along in any sense. But you're using the principles of that yourself.
Correct.
To make sure that you keep up the pace and you do exactly what it is that you'd be able to do if somebody were there in the front. But it sounds like you're also saying that this particular idea could apply to a person who would like to be able to get a tandem bike, and then if they happen to have the symptoms, they could sit in the back seat,
right.
And then a person who is totally healthy in every respect might sit in the front seat, and then they could drive the bike.
That's imperative because it's the front healthy person that can keep the cadence up in that zone. And again, it's not you're not riding. It's hard to find a straightaway for 40 minutes that you can crank out 80, 90 RPMs outside. That's why I believe he's got it set up on the inside. You know, they take the front tire off, put the forks in a holder, and then put rollers on the back tire.
Yeah.
And they have timers and a computer on the bike, making sure that you stay within that zone. So based on that, I've just duplicated it without a front rider because I don't have a tandem right now.
Right. You know, it sounds like it would be such a wonderful activity for a couple to do, or two individuals, one who has the symptoms and one who doesn't.
Exactly.
And for a person who wants to do something for their friend or their wife or husband or loved one, it would be such a good activity because it's a good activity for both people.
Right. Oh, sure.
Both people are getting incredible benefits, and
that sort of falls in place with. I tell a lot of friends that I've got PD and stuff because, A, you get somebody to ride in the front of your tandem with you, and also the more eyes and ears you have looking out for information for you, the better off you are, because you know as an individual you can only dig through so much on the internet. After a while, it gets blurry, and you never know who's going to find something different. And they also help. They understand your sickness. I really had no one turn me away just because I had the tremors and such. But it's a good support group for you because they understand. They may not understand what you're going through, but they understand that you're sick and you're trying to do something better for yourself. Another exercise I do is anything with my brain. It's funny, my son has a Nintendo DS and they have a game called Brain Age that helps your frontal cortex fire. Because it just runs you through about a 5-minute little drills with declining numbers, increasing numbers, just doing a string of information.
Is it like a video game where you click on stuff?
Yeah, exactly what it is. It's Nintendo DS. It's those little pocket-sized things your kids play with. And it's got a thing called Brain Age. I also do different things, like instead of brushing my teeth with my right hand, you brush your teeth with your left hand, walk around a room with your eyes shut. I would talk to this one doctor, and he was saying, just take 15 minutes of vegging a day. Learn a new subject. It's just to keep the brain going. We're currently taking an Econ 101 class, trying to figure out what the world's going through right now.
Great
university,
idea.
But things like that. And also, you try not to look at failures. You try to look forward to a new way of doing something. Like, I'm a big advocate for using electric toothbrush instead of a regular toothbrush because you figure out that what's around you is going to help you. Same thing with the razor and the shaver. I'll use my left hand. I'm right-handed, and that by the way, my right hand was what started going bad on me first. So my left hand sort of has taken over, so I do a lot of different things with my left hand that I would normally do with my right.
So you become ambidextrous then as a result.
Pretty close to that, yeah. I haven't got the writing thing down yet, but I also volunteer for clinical studies, like that first one I went through that didn't come for anything, but at least I got free medical for 2 years. That was called the precept study, and now there's the postcept study, which is what I told you about also. I belong to a local Parkinson's Association here in the Rockies, and I learned about a lot of different studies that are going on that you can volunteer for. One was that I recently did was I went and talked to second-year med students at the local medical school. It was just like a Q&A process, and I just told them what I've told you all through what I've been through and where I found my relief. And a lot of it's from humor. That's what gets me through the day. Anything I can find that's a good laugh. It just helps you innumerably. But I'll do a lot of volunteer for those clinical studies. What else have I done? I haven't stopped doing anything that I've been doing in the past, which I think is important. Like bicycling. I'm a big rabid fly fisherman, so I still fly fish. I used to be on search and rescue here in my local county. I retired from that just because I wouldn't spend enough time with the family. Hiking, camping, traveling. I volunteer at my kid's school, and I don't know if I told you, I'm a full-time dad. They call me FTD, or else John and the Moms. I'm a Cub Scout leader with my son. I'm one of my leaders in my daughter's Girl Scout troop. I'm the family bus driver. You just can't stop doing the things you've been doing unless you physically can't do it anymore.
And you're scheduled to ride a bike across Iowa here soon.
The Ragbra. It's a 460-mile bike ride from the west side of Iowa to the east side of Iowa. And you ride about 65 miles a day from July 19th this year to the 25th, I believe. And every night you camp at a different little town in Iowa, and the whole town comes out for you. So I'm looking forward to that, and that's where a lot of my spinning training has come in, because I'm up here in the Rockies. It's still a little windy and still a little chilly out, but as soon as the weather breaks, I'll be outside pedaling my little rear end off.
In training to be able to get ready to do that very long ride.
Exactly.
So, to be clear for everybody listening, you live in Colorado or the Rockies,
yes.
And so you're traveling to Iowa to go through this nationally known race.
Right.
You can do it. And the other thing you mentioned, this was before we turned the recording on, is that the tendency is for people to gain weight, not lose weight, on this experience.
A real good friend of ours has ridden it 5 times, and he said it's the only race he's ever ridden in that he gained weight at the end of it.
And you'll have to explain to people why that is.
Well, the whole state comes out for this race, and it goes through all these little small towns through Iowa. And he said you'd be riding along, and you'd have already left this little city or hamlet, and all of a sudden, 3 miles out on the highway, is a waffle stand. And they cook up a storm at every town you stay in. Every night you stay in a different town, progressing from the west side to the east side. And it's like there's bands, it's a real party attitude, and just a lot of fun. People riding across the state, and they bratwurst, and just he went on and on and on and on and on. And you start drooling hearing his side of the story. But I thought that was pretty funny when he said that he'd gained weight at the end of this ride. And he's gone back 5 times to do it.
That is not only funny, but unexpected, I might say.
Oh, totally. 460 miles? Come on. You'd think you'd be a waif by the time you're done. But I'll tell you one thing. I'm going to bring my Aquas with me. Keep me hydrated.
Right. Those will make a big difference, I bet.
Well, the humidity is supposed to be terrible, too, during the summer in Iowa.
Yeah. So you'll be able to retain the water a lot better with the Aquas.
Exactly. And it also gets rid of toxins in your system. So, like this book that I was reading by John Coleman said that when you first start, about a small percentage of the people who start taking it will experience some ill feelings, and that's basically the toxins coming out of your cells better because of the Aquas. So you just gut your way through that and continue on. I guess I do that with everything. You just sort of know there's a goal at the end. Hopefully it's not an oncoming train. And you just gut it out and continue through it all. And eventually you come out on the other side, hopefully in a positive sense.
You mentioned body therapies or something that you pursue. Can you explain to people more about what that's all about for you?
I've got a massage therapist who I think is relatively important. And I've got my wife just came back from getting trained in a Bowen therapy, which is, I can't explain that, but it deals more with the connectors of your muscles than it does the muscles themselves. And it's not like a deep tissue massage or a light tissue massage, but the Bowen therapy, I think it's spelled B-O-W-E-N. I just started doing that because I that came from that John Coleman book I was reading, massage therapy. There's something called craniosacral therapy. You'll have to excuse me if I butcher the name up. Craniosacral therapy, which my naturopath's office, they do that. So I'm trying to think what else I do. I do Pilates because that helps a lot. I work on my balance and my flexibility there. And then the weight training is, or resistance training, it's building up your core muscles so you don't slouch as much as we've been known to slouch.
So it helps with the posture?
It helps extremely with the posture. So the Pilates is also, I do Pilates on the machines. There's Pilates on the mat and Pilates on the machines, and I do the machines because I just have gotten, I got started on the machines, and I just continued on those. So
and you mentioned you have a coach that helps with that, is that right?
I've got my Pilates instructor who is relatively versed in Parkinson's problems. So all the exercises we do are geared towards keeping my flexibility up because, as we all know, with Parkinson's, sometime possibly your flexibility decreases and your balance goes. So I do a lot of balancing things at the Pilates class and also at home. I don't know if you've ever seen those wobble boards. There's like a half a ball underneath a piece of wood, and you try and balance in the middle of it. I'll do that about for 5 minutes a couple times a week at the house, along with doing it in a Pilates class. And then resistance training is keeping your muscles toned and helping strengthen your inner core muscles, your gut and whatnot. Like I said earlier, going from a party ball belly to a 12-pack and someday maybe a 7 or 8-pack. But I think that's very important. There's so many different aspects that I go through. It's, if I didn't have my scheduler, I'd be lost trying to keep up with everything.
What have you tried that did not help?
Sport group. I just didn't have a good experience with that. That was from the mental aspect. I do energy work too. I can't explain that because I don't know a lot about it, but my wife does, and she has a group that she goes to for energy work, for lack of a better word. I can't think what else they call it. Sort of a balancing your chakras and your medians and whatnot. That the jury's still out on with me. I still do it, but I don't know if it's beneficial or not. Some people totally believe in it.
Are you doing this in a group setting?
No, it's an individual.
Oh.
I have done a sweat lodge before, which was that was an interesting experience. It was a closed-in tent, more like skins. We did it in Arizona, and it was run by two facilitators. And that lasted like 2.5 hours. And I was more worried about getting my body out of that hot tent than I was worried about picking up what kind of spiritual work that they were working on. But I've done a lot.
So that was not a good experience?
I would say if you have a bad heart or health condition, not to do it. But I'm glad I did it once. I don't know if I would do it again. But it was just an interesting experience. It wasn't a good or bad. But because I was so concerned about the heat and getting cooled off, I didn't focus as much on the spiritual aspect of it as I guess they wish you would.
You've identified a number of individuals that are on your medical support team. How do you find good healthcare practitioners to see?
You know, you go to the internet and you do some digging there. You find out how long they've been practicing, where they've been practicing, what their accreditations are. When I went to the Cleveland Clinic, by chance I fell into with Dr. Vitek, and then that led to Dr. Hadick, and also the Dr. Albert, the tandem guy, force exercise. Some of it's just been, I'm Irish, so some of it's been pure luck. Others has been word of mouth, talking with people. Like in my little support group, we talk all the time about what's the latest thing you've read, who have you heard about, what have you heard about, have you heard anything more about stem cells, you know, what have you heard about, just of numerous subjects. But I think it's been a little, it's been half like research, half by chance. But it's just, it takes a lot of time to try and figure out who I should be going to see, what I should be going to see, why I should be going to see this person. Do I need to add somebody else to my health practitioner team, you know? Is everybody covering what I need to be covered? It's sort of mind-boggling. And
it's almost a full-time job, it sounds like.
Yeah, you sort of got to get your arms around it as best you can. You won't be able to totally, but still, you got to try. And I guess that's one of the spirits, is just keep on trying and never give up. So it sounds like the Galaxy Quest movie.
I'd like to ask you to compare your life before Parkinson's emerged in your life 7 years ago, and then since then. How has your life changed since you have been experiencing the symptoms of Parkinson's?
It's definitely different now. I still go on with what I've been doing, like I went through the list earlier, fly fishing stuff. I still do all that. Physically, there's a slowing down. I think everybody experiences that. And fortunately for me, I've still been able to keep my physical fitness relatively high. Mentally, there's this cat in the back of your brain. It's always meowing to remind you that you have it, plus whatever symptoms you have. My cousin, who passed away a few years ago, gave me a great analogy. She said, and she'd gone through two forms of breast cancer, Lyme disease, a couple other things, and then finally leukemia took her down. But she said, you treat it like it's an elephant in the room, and your job is to shrink that elephant to smaller sizes so you can deal with it better. The elephant's always going to be there, but it's your job to shrink it down. And when you're having a bad day, it's because the elephant farted, and it's your job to fan that. But I started out with this humongous elephant in my room 7 years ago, and when it gets you down, you just think of the elephant analogy and continue to try and shrink it. And again, the elephant's always going to be there, but someday it's smaller, it's a small baby elephant, and every once in a while it passes gas. But I think that's one of the best things I've ever heard from anybody about how to handle it. Stress is a big no-no. Although you can't avoid it, you just try and put it away in a file drawer and go on with your life.
Do you see a direct connection between times when you are stressed and your symptoms?
Yes, I think so. I think like when I'm stressed, my tremors come out more in my hand than anywhere else. And then as soon as you, one of my psychologists I went to, he said, if you feel that stress ramping up, try and get yourself to a place mentally where it's before the stress started, and put your heels in the ground and try and bring yourself back down before the stress arrives, so it doesn't take hold of you, which sometimes it does. It just, especially early on, I was a basket case, but I was trying to gut it out and try to get through it all. But I try and get rid of the stress as best as you can. And you know, like I was saying with myself.
There's another thought that I've had just recently about a better hydrated body. I've been doing a lot of work on I'm calling the five steps to recovery about thought forms and how thought forms affect our ability to recover and how quickly we recover. So if we're holding negative thoughts, those have very low vibrational frequencies, and they tend to drag us down into a state of depression.
Mm-hmm.
But if we have positive thoughts, it's very different. That's a very high frequency. And when the body is well hydrated, it's much easier for the for those high frequencies to be sustained and for positive thought forms to be supported.
Mm-hmm.
So the physical hydration of the body has a direct impact on a person's ability to shed all of those negative thought form behaviors and templates and sustain then the positive expectations of what really is possible with regard to their health and wellness.
My when I was talking to my Pilates instructor about this, she was like going gonzo because she's been trying, you know, she's in the business of informing and teaching her students like myself, and she said that hydration is so important. She whipped out like three or four books that she had right there, and she was like, you know, she wanted to learn more about it after I could get her some more information. But and the same thing held true with my massage therapist and my resistance trainer. They're all over because they know the importance of hydration and how important it is. I was just stunned at the response I got just from because of what I've done and what I'm taking. So, you know, my Pilates instructor was hilarious. She just said, well, there's this book on hydration, there's this book, and she just went down the list about how important hydration was. So it sort of bolstered up my thoughts on what I was doing myself with the Aquas.
I have known John Coleman, the author of the Stop Parking and Start Living book that you mentioned earlier, now for about 4 years. And when I first met John, he started talking about the Aquas and how they were so beneficial to him and how they recommended it to his own clients,
sure,
given that he's a naturopath doctor. So because we were working with individuals with Parkinson's, I decided, well, I don't know about this, but I ought to try it myself. So Deborah and I ordered a set of bottles for each of us. They come in a morning bottle and an evening bottle, so we had a male bottle for me and a female bottle for her. And my own personal experience was I took them in the morning, my three or four drops in the morning, and then I went out for my regular run, and I have never run so effortlessly in my life. What is this? I don't get it. I don't see what happened. So my experience actually is a bit like yours. I mean, I could not believe the difference in my ability to sustain a run up a steep gradient. And I was instantly convinced. I said, I thought this was homeopathic. I thought this would take a while to actually show some effectiveness. But and I think that's true for different people. But boy, for me, it was quite remarkable. I said, oh, I know what John is talking about now.
Okay.
It really does make a difference.
I totally agree with you. That's what my experience has been with the spinning. I mean, you just like, you can't believe it's the same person on a bike.
What would you say to a person who has just recently been diagnosed with the symptoms of Parkinson's?
That just came up about a month ago with that gentleman from Virginia. And first, you got to try and get yourself back inside the window, like I keep saying, and try and do as much research and educate yourself as much as you can about this. Do searches on the internet, because they'll come up with tons of information. The Michael J. Fox Foundation is good for information. That's big money going after possibly cures. You just sort of gotta find a good set of health practitioners like I've put together. I know you can't put those together immediately, but try and do just research the dickens out of it, and try and keep your head about yourself and not going off the deep end, because you don't have to. There's everybody else is out there doing the same thing you are, and you know, education is. Oh, one of the big things that I would highly stress is when you do go to your health practitioner, be it your internist, your neurologist, naturopath, bring another set of ears along, because my wife comes to all my appointments with me, and you'll be sitting there and your practitioner will say something and you'll get fixated on that, and the practitioner continues on with the conversation and you're totally fixated on the first part of this conversation and miss all the rest. So having another set of ears is very important when you go see your practitioners.
Well, it's pretty clear that the symptoms that you've experienced over the last 7 years haven't been an impediment to you in living the life that you wanted to lead, particularly in light of the fact that you're about to travel on a bike across the state of Iowa.
Yeah, nuts or not, I guess I'm going to be there.
How do you stay positive about your recovery?
It's incrementally. I mean, like, when I find something new that is, that'll help me stay where I'm at or improve my quality of life, it's a constant look for those things. And talking with people like yourself, I don't know, it's just sort of my nature to be in a good frame of mind. But it's an effort, I will say that. Because you have bad days, you know, there's gas in the room from the elephant every once in a while for who knows how long. But you just sort of got to try and stay positive and look towards the sunny side of the street, as that song goes. And the one doctor said, you know, don't look at the failures. Look forward to the new way of doing it. And I guess that's what it's just, the failures are dead soldiers by the wayside. And there's more to life. You know, live every day for the day. I guess that's the best way I've come to deal with my situation.
Would you like to give any kind of contact information for you in case people would like to contact you directly?
Sure, they can contact me at my email address. It's doublehall3, which is spelled doublehaul, the number 3, at comcast.net, and I'll be glad to get back to you as quick as I can. For those who are wondering, that double haul is a fly fishing term.
Which has been something you've been doing for quite a few years.
Yeah, I've been doing it since like 82, 83.
So people who might be interested in fly fishing, tandem biking, riding bikes across the state of Iowa, or any of the many regimens you've talked about that are helping you feel better from the symptoms of Parkinson's, can give you an email and get more information.
Exactly. And, you know, it's a matter of just, once you're out there doing whatever you're doing, it takes your mind off of it. And it just makes it more enjoyable for the day. So if I can answer any questions, go ahead and email me. I'll see if I can get what kind of answer I can get back to you with.
Do you meditate?
Yes. I usually do some quick 15-second, 30-second meditations a couple times a day, and then also I'll do a 15-minute, I try and do this a couple times a week, a 15-minute, just like vegging, sitting in a chair with my eyes closed, or sitting, you know, waiting for the kids with my eyes closed in the car line. But I think it's important because it sort of helps unscramble your brain.
Right.
So I hope that helps. I hope what I've been passed on helps somebody. That's one of the reasons why I do the clinical studies. Hopefully it'll help somebody out there.